Some of you will come and give a testimony. I think it's a good thing. Amen? Amen. Let the redeem of the Lord say so. We want to go back to the book of Genesis tonight. So we want to go to the 39th chapter. Remember David. I keep getting him mixed up with Joseph. You know, forgive me for that. But two great men that I respect in the Word of God. But of course, Joseph was an unusual fella. The last time we looked at him as a preferred son of his father, and his brothers put him in a pit, and now he is in Potiphar's house, and the Ishmaelites sold him into slavery. And so when you come to the 39th chapter, I think the title of that chapter would be God's Battle Plan for Temptation. I know of no chapter that gives you more instructions on a battle plan on how to handle temptation. And so we hear, and I want you to notice as we come to this, we see that Joseph is brought, he is bought, and he is brought into Pharaoh, into Potiphar's house. Now, Potiphar was a man of great power. He, no doubt, could just snap his fingers and see that you die or put in prison. He was that kind of a man. He had a lot of influence and a lot of power. And so we see, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And the Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. So underlying that thought, he was brought, and he was bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites who had brought him down thither. And so we know here that when he came there, look at verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And the master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You know, here's a little side note. When you think about, here's Joseph, a Jew, and anytime a Jew seems to be in charge, prosperity takes place. You need to recognize that God has greatly blessed America down through the years because we have looked to Israel as God's chosen people. Now, I don't know where we are now, but I know where we were under our previous president, and he even recognized Jerusalem as the capital, and now a lot of that will be thrown out. But you know something? Jerusalem is still the capital because it's God's word. God's desire as we look at this. And so we see this. And then the Bible, verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight. He served him and he made him oversee over his house and all that he had put in his hands. And so he began to be a great and a mighty man. Now keep in mind, he's been through a lot. His brothers had sold him into slavery. He had 17 years of age and he is a teenager. And now he is here in Potiphar's house. In verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. I find, again, the prosperity of a people or a nation that honors the Jewish people. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and his field. And verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person. He was well favored. The word goodly has the idea he was a godly person. He just loved the Lord. Now, here we come to verse 7. And now we find here a temptation takes place. I want you to notice here, and it came to pass after these things that this master's wife cast her eye upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. What a bold woman. Lie, she wouldn't have an affair, an adulterous affair with Joseph. And of course, we know Joseph resisted. And I just want to share some things tonight on how to deal with temptation. We're all going to go through it. We're all going to go through temptation one time or another, one thing or another. How do we handle? First of all, you need to know the nature that lives within you. You need to know that. There is a nature within you that hates anything that God loves. I want you to leave that portion for a moment. I want you to go to the New Testament, and I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, and I want to turn over there because you need to realize there is a trinity of evil that works on you and works on me, and we need to recognize that trinity of evil. First of all, as we look at verse 2, we find the course of this world, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now, when he talks about the world, he is not talking about the globe. I think the globe's okay. It's the system. And we see that. We recognize that. If you don't think evil is here, just focus on what you've seen on the news with our government today. And there is a lot of evilness here. And so we see the course of this world as an enemy. That's enemy number one. The world is not our home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the heavens above, and I look forward to that. As our brother said a little while ago, I thank God for the Lord's coming. I also recognize the fact that we need to see that it's an enemy of God. This world is God's enemy. If it's God's enemy, folks, it's got to be our enemy. And we need to recognize. Then there's the second one. There's not only the course of this world, but there is the conspiracy of Satan. Notice here, secondly, and according to the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. So it is not only the course of this world, but it is the conspiracy. Satan is out today. As I read in the book of Daniel, I'll not take time to even turn there tonight, but you'll find that there are demons in control of government activities. And I'm convinced they're really working overtime here in the United States and working over because they're evil. There's a conspiracy. Oftentimes we hear people talking about a conspiracy theory, a conspiracy thing. And I got news for you. The devil has a conspiracy in mind. He wants to overthrow America because America was founded on Bible principles. And we are leaving those principles, and therefore there's a conspiracy. Who would have ever thought one day we would not only just have abortions, which is terrible, but now the child can be born laid on a table and the mother and the doctor can decide whether or not that child shall live. That's called murder. Abortion is murder. And homosexuality and all the things that are taking place today. So there is not only the course of this world, but there is the conspiracy of Satan. But then I think this. Look here thirdly. There is also, go up down to verse 3, if you will please. Here we see the corruption of the flesh. Verse 3, among whom we all, whom also we have all our conversations in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Now, the flesh is more than this stuff that hangs here, folks. That's referring to the sin nature that you have. There's another portion of Scripture I want you to turn to talk about that sin nature. If you go to the book of Romans, and you'll go with me to the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, you're going to see in chapter 7 and chapter 8, there are four laws that operates in every Christian's life. If you're here and you don't know Christ, there's only three laws. But there are four laws if you find over there in chapter 7 of the book of Romans. And I want you to see this beginning in verse 21. For I find that a law... Now let's back up. Let's go back to verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He's referring to the sin nature. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And then he goes on this battle that we all face. For the good I do not, the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin nature that dwelleth in me. Now I want you to see here, then he finds here, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present. Now there are four laws in verse 22, beginning there to chapter 1 up to chapter 8. For I delight in the law of God. Now that's the law of ownership. The law of God is the law of ownership. You know why you obey God's laws? Because he owned you. He owned you Everything about you, he owns. And so we answer to him. He owns us as Christian. So we have the law here of ownership. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. The law of my mind is the law of obedience. The law of ownership says, do this, do that. God says this. And my mind says, well, I'm a Christian. I want to do that. Hallelujah for that law. That's the law of obedience. There's a problem, though. There's the law, third law, which is the law of opposition. He says, look there at verse 23 again, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. That's the law of obedience, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. That's the law of opposition, which is in my members. So you have the law of ownership. God says, I own you, therefore you're mine. I want you to obey my laws. Then you have the law of the mind says, okay, I want to obey that. Then you have the law of opposition. And every time we want to do something right, guess as Paul's dealt there in verse 19 and 20, when things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. There's the battle. But hallelujah for the fourth law. Go over to the eighth chapter. I call that the chapter on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And you come over here, and we find here for verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life. Notice the law of the Spirit of life in Christ made me free from the law of sin and death. What is that? It's the law of overcoming. I can say no to sin. Hallelujah. Why? Because I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within me, and I do not have to obey that law of opposition. I can say no. And this is exactly what we find here when we look at this brother Joseph. And so turn back there. So we have those four laws. We also have the three enemies that we face. And a lot of times, the things we blame on the devil wasn't the devil, it was a sin nature. We need to realize that. It's right there. There's a demon within all of us. All of us have that demon. And it's so very, very real. Now, I want you to notice, secondly, so the first thing, know the nature that lives within you. Do not ever get to the place, say, well, I know what he did was wrong, but I'll never do that. That's called the doctrine of stupidity. Any sin that anybody can commit, everybody can commit. And we need to understand the truth of that. So we see now, as we come to this chapter, so now we come here, not only so we see the trinity of evil, the course of this world, the conspiracy of Satan, and the corruption of the sin nature, and we realize it's there in all of us. But I want you to notice the truth we must face. As we look at it, there is evil within. I dealt with that in Romans chapter 7, chapter 8. We need to realize that and come to that conclusion. So that's the first. Know the nature that lives within you. It's a wicked nature. Hallelujah for the new nature. Hallelujah for the power we have through the Holy Spirit to say no. So that's the second thing. Not only know the nature that lives within, but say no to the temptation. Just say no. When I was raising my family, my children, they'd ask for something and I'd say no. And then Tim or Susan would come back and say, well, why can't I have? I said, son, daughter, what part of no don't you understand? What part of that? The N or the O? What part of the word no don't you understand? When I'd say no, I mean no. And then I found, if you're not careful, you have children, your kids will work one against the other. I wouldn't give it, go to mama. Now, mama's tougher than me. She really is. When it comes to, you know, this is the way it's going to be. And I always say, yes, mama. Yes, mama, you know, because normally she's a lot more. She was raised in a Christian home, and I'm glad our brother testified that tonight. And took me a while to get all this together in my life after being saved, after so much corruption in my life. And so thank God. But just say no. I want you to notice now as we move down, verse 8 of chapter 39, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is within my house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is no greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Let me tell you what he said in verse 9. No. No. No, I don't. No, I'm not going to. And keep in mind, I want to say this to you when you say no. Don't be, the devil, that sin nature, can talk us into doing wrong. Let me say three things here. Don't be corrupted by your circumstances. I can think of Joseph. He said, well, wait a minute now. Why am I in this house? Because my brother sold me. It's their fault. He could say that. He could say, this woman is after me, and I've resisted as much as I can, and I can't do it anymore. And so be careful you don't be corrupted by your circumstance. He could have said, God put me here. It's not my fault. Now, what did Adam do when God caught him? What did he blame his wife? She blamed the serpent. We play the blame game. But actually, he was really blaming God. If you hadn't given me this woman, I wouldn't have done that. Don't be corrupted by your circumstances. Two, don't be convinced by your flesh. You know, I'm sure it went through his mind. Listen, I can have this affair. No one will know. No one will know. I got news for you. God knows. God knows. So don't be corrupted by your circumstances. He could easily have said, God put me here. I'm here because God put me here. It's not my fault. Don't be convinced by your flesh. And thirdly, don't be controlled by your feelings. Your feelings can get you in trouble, folks. Your feelings can get you in serious trouble if you listen to your feelings. And I could see, he could say, I'm a young man, and here my flesh needs are there, and she's offering herself to me. And so don't go on feelings. Be careful with it. Feelings can be your enemy or your friend. Be careful with it. Now let me say this to you. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Let me say that to you again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And I believe Joseph knew that. He could see himself, if I give in, look, God has put me here for a purpose and a reason. And so say no to the temptation, know the nature that is within you, and name the temptation for what it is. Name it. Look there in verse 9. There is no greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great what? Now, folks, if we would see temptation as wickedness, the sin that the devil wants us to do, the flesh wants us to do, the world wants us to do, let me say, just call it what it is. Just call it what it is. Well, let's quit doctoring it up, making it look better than what it really is. Let's see it as God sees. He said, it's a great sin against God. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? When temptation hits us, we need to just name the temptation for what it is. We've all been tempted. It also is a grief to those that are affected by the sin. Now, this woman is a wicked woman. She's the Jezebel of this passage here. But I'm going to tell you something. I think Potiphar is a fairly good guy. I mean, he has promoted Joseph. He has taken care of him. He has given him just anything that Joseph wanted, Potiphar gave him. How can I not only sin a great sin against God, but a grief to those who affect it? And the great one that would be affected would be Potiphar. It is not only this temptation is a great sin against God, it's a grief to those affected, because Potiphar had just put all of his confidence and trust in Joseph. He's saying to himself, I never have to worry about that guy. I think Potiphar had an idea what kind of woman she was. How do I know that? Thank you for asking. Normally, he had the power to kill anybody who would do what Joseph was accused of. But he had him put in prison because, I believe, he knew he really wasn't guilty. He really wasn't guilty. And that sin is that temptation can become a grave which has buried fallen dreams. It's a living death for many. I don't know how many times in my ministry I've counseled people, wives, husbands. I've been to jails. I've been to hospital holding the hand of people who have died because of sin. They gave into it. And I see their dreams die. Remember a wife, a mother and a father telling me as their son was killed in a terrible automobile accident after he got drunk. We had dreams for him. We wanted him to be this. We wanted him to be that. He said, now they're all dead. The dreams are dead. And not only is there a great sin against God, that's what the sin would be. It would be the grief to Potiphar. Certainly the graves would be bear everything. What did God want for Joseph? To be the prime minister? That dream would have died. And there would have been guilt he would have had to face for the rest of his life. I had a man I was counseling with one time, and he had committed adultery more than once, and he had said to me, the biggest problem I have are the pictures in my mind, those affairs. The guilt haunted him. A man wrote a great book, Jay Adams, you may be familiar with him. I remember who I'm that name, Jay Adams. He wrote Competent to Counsel. I think it's a good book to have. Jay Adams, when he was working on his doctorate, would work in many of the what we call insane asylums. Don't know what they call them today. They fancied the name up. But he said there were so many in there were there because of guilt. If they would just confess their sin and uncover it and get it under the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, I saw several that I led to Christ. They confessed their sin, made it right, and went out and lived normal lives. You see, guilt is a terrible punishment for the sins that we carry. So what we do is we know the nature that lives within. You got to get a, listen, we're wicked, wicked, wicked. And sometimes in the morning I'll get up and I'll say, hey, wicked, how you doing? Talking to myself. And then you're to say no to it. And thirdly, you're to neutralize the temptation. Neutralize it. I want you to notice here, as you look there, verse 10. And it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph, well, how often? Day by day. Now get that, folks. You may be able to escape it today on your own, but it'll be there tomorrow. It'll be there tomorrow. So what did he do? He feared that temptation because every time he had seen her, he knew what she wanted. What did he do? He fled. Look what he says in the text. Verse 11, it came to pass at this time, Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there with him. And she caught him by the garment, said, lie with me. And he left his garment in his hand, and what? He fled. There's a good one. There's a good one for you. Neutralize the temptation. If you're not there, you're not going to do it. Often I deal with people who have been in drugs and alcohol and so forth, and I tell them, listen, I've had people say, now I just say, don't drive by that liquor store. Be careful. I've had to deal with people with pornography down through the years. Had to try to help them get rid of it. And so neutralize the temptation. He fled from it. Get rid of it. But here's something else, and this is key. Not only are you to know the nature, know it, your nature within you. And any When you begin to let down the bars of protection, you're in trouble. Say no to the temptation. Name the temptation for what it is. Neutralize it. And need the presence of God more than you need the sin. Need the presence of God more than you need that sin. I want you to notice something here. Three times in this text, I want you to see it. I've kind of pointed it out last week. But would you notice over here, verse 2, then go down to verse 21, and then verse 23. You'll see a thing repeated three times. Verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. Praise the Lord. The Lord is with us in our triumphs. This is when everything's going right for him. The Lord isn't only with us in our triumphs, but he is with us in our temptations. When this woman went after him, he simply relied on God in verse 21. And then he's cast in prison. And the Lord was with him in verse 23 when he was placed in prison. Now, why did he do all that? There's a word I want you to get. I want you to get it. I want you to notice. And it's the word seek, S-E-E-K. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah in chapter 55. And as you turn there, look with me at verse 6. And I want you to see here, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek him while you may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. When you seek God in the midst of temptation and strengthen your relationship with him, your temptation will go away. I'm going to be blunt with you. When I face temptation, I immediately quote scripture. You know why? Because it tells me in the word of God, that's how you fight it. I put temptation on notice. I'm going to let the word of God chase you away from my thought life. I'm going to have it do that. Now that word seek, you know by now, if you heard me preach before, I like to take a word and kind of add some things to it here. So what does the word seek mean? S, strengthen your relationship with him. Strengthen your relationship with him. I have found I need to get closer to the Lord. Temptation is telling me get closer to the Lord. Get closer, get closer, get closer. The way I do it, the way you ought to do it, the way the Bible says, is the word of God. You're all familiar with Psalm 119? Turn over there real quick. The longest chapter of the Bible is Psalm 119. And I want you to notice, if you will, please, these words with chapter 119, verse 9, 10, 11. I quote them often, and I'll quote them often in my messages. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking here there according to the word of God. Notice here, that's purification. What does the word of God do? It purifies my mind. You can't think of two things at the same time. Maybe you can, I can't. And I don't think you can either. So when temptation, there's purification there. There's not only purification, there is the next verse, verse 10, determination. With my whole heart, have I sought thee? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And you are too. You're prone to that way because you have a sin nature. So there is purification, there is determination, and then there is fortification in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I what? I not sin against thee. That's fortification. Now, do you believe that you can defeat temptation? I can't, you can't, but God's word can. So what do? You just put it in your heart. You memorize it. I was going over memory work today, and I enjoy my memory work. The older I get, it's harder. I got to review them all the time. Just got to concentrate. I have a photographic mind, but it ran out of film years ago. And the camera's so old, you can't even buy the film today. Of course, if you're a young person, you're asking them, what's film? All right. So strengthen your relationship. E, exchange the order of your being. Now let me say, you heard me say this, and I'll say it again tonight. You are a Trinity. There's three parts to you, three parts to me tonight. What we normally say is what? Body, soul, and spirit. Isn't that right? Only problem is that's not true. We're not body, soul, and spirit. We're spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, they're important because the spirit, that's where you got born again, and that's where your faith is. That's where your power to overcome sin is. That's right there. And that's where that's got to be in control. Then your soul, that's the place of feelings. It's where your feelings are. Your feelings are not in your spirit, they're in your soul. And then the body is the physical being where you display what either your feelings or your faith tells you to do. If the spirit is in charge, you don't sin. If the feeling's in charge, you're going to go ahead and do it in your body. So S, strengthen your relationship. E, exchange the order of your being. And then the other E, if you'll go back to our text, I want to jump ahead for just a second to the 40th chapter. We'll talk about this chapter next week, but when I look at this chapter, here's Joseph. He's in prison. Why? Because of that wicked. Did he do anything wrong? No. If he didn't do anything wrong, why was he there? Because God put him there. God had a reason for him to be there. We'll see that next time. But I want you to notice there was the baker and the butler. And I want you to notice something here as we look at this in the 40th chapter. Look at verse 7. Joseph asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord, saying, "Wherefore look you so sad today?" Duh, Joseph, we're in prison. Why don't you think we're sad? We're sad because we're in prison. What do you think? See, Joseph's not sad. Because the joy of the Lord is his what? Strength. Nehemiah reminds us of that. And he is got the joy. Yeah, but you're in prison. How can you have joy? Because joy is a supernatural gift of God. Happiness. See, the fellows that were sad, they were looking to happiness, which depends on happenings. We happen to be in prison, therefore we have no happiness. But joy depends on the Lord. It's this wonderful gift from God. No matter what your circumstances are, so you have the strength in your relationship with Him, strengthen it, exchange the order of your being, enjoy the good in your life. Be thankful. You know what our problem is particularly Baptists, we complain too much. You know, count your blessings. What? Name them one by now. Count your blessings. See what God has done. See what God has done. And then we see the word, the letter K. Go over to Book of Proverbs. The letter S, strengthen your relationship. E, exchange the order of your being. E, enjoy the good that God gives you in your life. And look there, a very important reference, the Book of Proverbs. And look with me, if you will, in Proverbs to the fourth chapter of the Book of Proverbs. And I want you to note this, because we're not only to strengthen your relationship with Him, exchange the order, enjoy the blessings of God. Why aren't you sad? Don't need to be sad. God's good to me. Count your blessings. Okay, keep your heart well guarded. I want you to notice here two words in verse 12. Let's read the verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The things of life come from the heart. The word keep, underline it, means to guard. The word diligence is from the same Hebrew word as the word keep. They both mean guard. In other words, double the guard. When temptation takes place, double the guard. Realize the devil's after you. Watch your heart. Keep your heart right with God. Holy, follow the Lord. As we close tonight, go back with me. I want to give you five words. I just want you to think these five words. Maybe you want to write them down. Five words. Now, just going to sum it all up with five words on how to overcome and have victory in life and temptation. Now, the first word is the word fear. That's the first word. Look at verse 9 again. We've read it. Fear the consequences of the sin that results from the temptation. He said again, there is no greater in the house than I, neither had he kept back anything from because thou art his wife. How can I do this great what? Wickedness and sin against God. The consequences of sin is tremendous cost. A moment of pleasure, a lifetime of pain. So we have the first word is fear. The second word is the word fight, F-I-G-H-T. Fight. Verse 10, and it came to pass as she spoke to Joseph, what? Day by day. I mean, temptation works on you constantly. And you need to not only fear, but fight the temptation and the power of the Spirit of God. That's where the scripture comes in, memorizing it, letting it attack. That's your weapon. The third word is flee. Flee. Verse 12, she caught him by his garment and said, lie with me. He left his garment and what? He fled. Now, if you're going to sit around and read wrong magazines or see wrong programs on TV or listen to wrong music, you're just opening. You're not fleeing. You're following the path that will lead to your demise spiritually. And then there is the fourth word, fellowship. Anytime temptation comes, check your fellowship with God. Make sure that you're close with Him. Again, I reminded of three times in verse 2, verse 21, and verse 33. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord won't be with you and help you if sin is in your life. We have many verses. Isaiah reminds us of that, 55. Other chapters remind us of that. There's a cloud. God said, your prayers can't even come to me because there's sin in your life. And then we have here the fifth word. First one again is fear. Second one is fight. Third is flee. Fourth is fellowship. And the fifth one is focus. Focus. Notice here in verse 23, and the keeper of the prison looked not on anything that was under his hand, referring to Joseph, because the Lord was with him and what he did, and the Lord made it to prosper. The word prosper is a word which means to press forward or to break out of. Break out? He was not interested in breaking out of that prison physically. He was interested in breaking out of that prison spiritually. I may be here because of this wicked woman, but my God is with me, and I'm in fellowship with him, and my focus is not going to be on what she did to me, but what God is doing in my life. I say tonight, we need those five words in our lives when we face temptation, and you will face it. Somebody reminded me just the other day, he said, you know what's happening in our world today, it won't affect me. I'm getting up there in age. I was kidding with somebody here a little while ago, Brother Patterson, I believe it was. I'll soon be 80. That's when you're an old man. If you get to 85, you're well stricken in years. But we were talking about our children and grandchildren. Truth of it is, I can remember growing up in the poverty of my own life. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit came into my life. I had the power to overcome those things through Christ. And your children can, as well as mine and my grandchildren. So, that's how to handle temptation. If he would have yielded, there would not have been a Joseph written in Scripture the way that is written. Hallelujah for that. I thank the Lord for it. Father, tonight.